Welcome to the Awakening to Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Athena. This podcast is more than a podcast. It's a transformative journey designed to help you awaken to your abundance, for you to discover what living the fullness of life means to you, and to co-create that life in this podcast community. As always, we're jumping right in with today's episode. Welcome to another episode of the Awakening to Abundance podcast. Today, I have a coaching call for you again from the past. And in it, my client and I discuss manifestation pillar number one, which is, what is it that you desire to manifest? And this is so important because if we don't know what we want to manifest, if we don't know what our desires are, how will we manifest them? How will we know we've received them? And this can be one of the most difficult pillars because oftentimes when we are asked, what is it that we desire? What is it that we want out of life? We haven't actually been asked that question before, and we haven't asked ourselves that question. We have let our programming and our conditioning from when we're younger guide our lives and essentially tell us who we are and what we want. But now that you're aware that that programming and conditioning from the past is no longer serving you, and you are wanting to actually create a life that you love, now you get to ask yourself these questions. And so you'll see me do this in the coaching call with my client, and I invite you to try this for yourself. And essentially, what I ask her is to start out by either journaling out or saying out loud, and then maybe doing it as a voice note so you have it for your records. The first question is, what do I like? And this isn't what do I like to do, but it is, what do I like? And just start naming all the things that you're appreciative of, that you enjoy, that you like. And once you've exhausted that and really give yourself time to exhaust that, don't just write down five things or say five things out loud and say, oh, I'm done. Really think about it. Then move to the second question, which is, what do I like to do? And again, either journal out or voice note out everything that comes to mind. Because here is what you're actually doing in this exercise. You are getting to know yourself. Often, we don't really have a relationship with ourselves. We don't really know what it is that we want. And so by starting with these very simple questions, but as you'll see in the coaching call, it can be a little bit easier to do for others than it is ourselves. This is us getting to know ourselves. So be gentle with it. Give it the time that it deserves. Think about almost like you're dating yourself, right? When we get to know someone new, we are interested, we're curious, we are wanting to know more about them. Do that for yourself. Be that curious, be that interested, because the relationship you have with yourself is actually the most fulfilling relationship you will ever have. And also, it will give you so much more clarity on what you are wanting to manifest. I hope that you enjoy this episode and you take some time to do this for yourself as well. So this week's practice was to write down things that you like and then things you like to do, and then actually take some time to start implementing one thing a day that is either on the list or inspired by the list to start self-care, because the self-care practice is really the time where we can come together with ourselves and show up for ourselves and start really building a more intimate relationship with ourselves, because we're constantly giving in our other relationships. That's what we do, especially as women. So being able to have time with ourselves is, and especially doing self-care in the beginning, which for most people, like once they get into it, feels really good, then that feeling really good for doing self-care will help with more of the alignment practices that may feel more like a practice as opposed to self-care. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And what I found when I wrote it down today was that because I am regularly doing self-care and alignment practices now, it was a hell of a lot easier actually to just write out exactly what I like and what I like to do. So there was really this better knowing of what I actually enjoy. And so it flowed, as opposed to me being like, oh, I don't really know. Or like writing five things and being like, well, now I got to really think about it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I want to spitball then with you on it. So things you like and then things you like to do.
I can go for things I like. I like to go to coffee shops. I like to sit around the house and do nothing sometimes. That's not a everyday, all the time thing at this stage of life. I like to travel. I like to go check out new places, like a, I don't know how you would say it, like a museum, or I don't know what you would categorize that as, but wherever I'm living, I love to check out new places.
Mm-hmm.
I like to watch movies. What else? I like to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's rephrase that. I like how I feel when I work out. Because I don't. Let's backtrack that one. So the feeling I get from working out, I like. I like to cook. I feel like that needs a lengthier sentence. I do like to cook at a base level. There are times that I'm not interested and don't want to cook.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it from a no pressure place. I like to cook.
Mm.
I like to connect with people and have conversations that just diverge in all different directions, learning from people.
That's a lot of I like twos. So that's lovely. What do you like? Just blank.
Things I like. I like. Were all those I like twos?
They were. Even okay. The I like to go to coffee shops. And I was like, oh, okay, so I assume that you like coffee, but at the same time, you could be a tea person. I don't know.
The distinction, though, is a good point, because you go to a coffee shop and not drink coffee at all.
Mm-hmm.
I like. Oh my gosh. Funny how that's harder. Yeah. I keep wanting to say to do.
Mm.
Oh my gosh, Athena. I was gonna say I like flowers, but from afar, because I'm often sneeze with them.
Mm.
Flowers on the arm. I like
magnolia trees.
Yes, Magnolia Tree. I like music. I like. Soft lighting. That just came up, but or mood, however you want to describe that, mood lighting, soft lighting. I like. Family. I like conversation. I like reading. I like learning. That's one I've seen a lot, both professionally and personally lately. I really like learning. I like plants. I like dogs, I guess.
I guess. That's cute.
Depends on the day. Really speaking, yes, I like dogs. How deep do we go? How far do we go? That feels like
Yeah. So I get that. And you'll have the recording to this. So I don't want you to think there's too much pressure or anything. We're not judging anything that's coming up. But right. I'm going to ask you another question. I'm going to ask you to do the exact same thing for Amber. What does she like to do? And what does she like?
Yeah. She likes art. She likes clarity. And details. friends. I was going to say to be, but that's not really. I don't know how else to say it. She likes to be busy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say that without the to be. She likes busyness.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to play softball. She likes to go places, which sounds very generic, but it doesn't often matter where or what. She likes to go places. Hence, I like to be busy. She likes to watch TV. She likes to chat with her friends. She likes frogs. She likes slime. She likes making slime. She likes fish.
Okay, let's do Brandon. What does he like and what does he like to do?
Gaming. It could be a to-do, but...
Right, both in here, yeah.
Yeah, he likes neon green. I would say he likes learning. Caveat, certain categories.
Mm-hmm.
he likes history. Likes Coke. Talkies. To play soccer. Actually, all sports. To be social. Likes to be around people. Be a social butterfly. Likes to debate. To get his way.
Okay. Now I want you to go back to you. What do you like and what do you like to do?
Okay. Even if I repeat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like coffee. Start there. I like plants. I like moderate temperatures. Although I do like snow. And I do like the beach. I like to travel. I like peace. I like to explore. I like learning. I like dogs, as I said, sometimes. I like lazy days. I like, Angle. Here's a fun one. I like a brand new empty planner. Empty brand new planners bring me a lot of joy. Always have since I was a kid. I like observing. I like observing other people, which actually that sounds creepy when I add that part.
I know what you mean.
I like trying new foods. I like cooking. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. What did you notice when you were asked about the kids?
It was easier. Easier to answer about them than about me. And then I think with them, because they're, maybe because they're kids, but with them, I think more simply, like, they like to paint. They, you know, where it's hard to think of those things right away with myself. Because we don't, I don't know if it's because we think of those things as childlike, but we don't, I don't think I immediately think of, I don't know. I just don't think that simply about what I like, perhaps.
Okay. And then so what did you notice when you were asked to go back to what you like?
Oh, then it was a little easier, I think, because then I had some ideas. Or it was, the more we talked, the more it opened up the brain to process and think of ideas that are true.
I did that for two reasons. The first is to notice if I've thought about it once, but I keep it kind of top of mind, more stuff starts to brainstorm. And also there's the relationship that you build with yourself, the more that you ask yourself, what do you like to do? Because when you ask yourself what you like to do, and then you do those things, it could lead to other things, like just with kids. And how, like, you specifically said Brandon likes soccer, and then you were like, all sports, actually, right? And until we put our kids into something, and then they decide they like it, and then now they're interested in sports, maybe they would want to try basketball or whatever. It's the same with us.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So the more that we can write it out and then get to know ourselves a little bit better, and the more that we can actually do the things that bring us joy, the more it expands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so your awareness expands around that too. And again, the more that you allow yourself to do the things that bring you joy, the more that you learn to trust yourself to do more of those things. And to show up for yourself and prioritize yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That makes perfect sense.
And also, it was to show that, especially as mothers and as women, we tend to know or have things come to us a little bit more easily when we're thinking about other people than ourselves.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
And then I really appreciated that you reflected that when you think about them and what they do and how natural it seems and kind of simple, that really means, the way that I'm kind of interpreting it, is it's childlike, right? And of course they are supposed to or allowed to take pleasure in just sitting and drawing, right? But if you were to say, for you, I like to just go and maybe draw in like an adult coloring book, or that might not be something you're conditioned mind says adults do, right? Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely felt that. Like, because, how does that, I think in our minds, like, how is that perceived? Like, I don't have that permission to just like to draw or like mm-hmm. to, like, that. It's so normal for children.
Mm-hmm. And it's our perception that once we are a grown up, that those things are supposed to fall to the wayside of our responsibilities.
Yeah.
And how that's just a perception. I mean, obviously, we do have responsibilities. And at the same time, we can stand for that and say, I also get to do all the things that bring me joy, even if they're coloring in a coloring book or whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And the more that we can have this awareness for ourselves and model it to our children, that just because I'm an adult now, and yes, you see me being responsible, I can also have fun and do the things that I love to do, then that encourages them not to make that same thought that when I'm an adult, it's not going to be fun and I'm not going to be able to do the things that I like to do now.
Yeah. You know what? It's so interesting you say that, because that's a huge thing that we want to instill in our kids from certain perspectives, that it's not like you become an adult and you can't do these things that you do anymore. So that's very interesting the way you said that. I have said a few times lately, I miss dancing. I would love to find an adult dance class just because it's fun.
Because dancing sounds like something that sounds fun to you and maybe even a passion in the past. By showing your kids that you are still doing stuff that you're passionate about, you're continuing to show them that whatever they're passionate about now, they can still do in the future as well.
Yeah.
And if you think about it that way too, how could it not be self-care to do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, how could it not be a form of self-care?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. It's great to think of it that way, that it's not just doing something for me, but modeling that for them in their future as well. Self-care that keeps giving.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And it also shows them that not only is it possible for them when they get to become an adult and they have whatever else going on in their lives, but also that mom gets to take time for herself and do something just for her. And that's okay to do. Yeah. And that you'll find too, kids don't have the conditioning to the extent that we do, that you have to be with your kids and serve your kids all the time as much as we do. And so you'll find that when you say, hey, I'm going to go to a dance class on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock and dad is going to help take care of this, or, you know, you guys are going to have snack dinner or whatever it is, right? You'll find that they are actually encouraging when a lot of mothers feel guilty about it, right? But in reality, when they say, I'm going to go do something that I love to do, just like you get to go to art class or you get to go play soccer or whatever, you'll find that they're like, of course, Mom. Like, why wouldn't they think anything else? Of course I want you to go do that. Of course you should have your own likes and things like that, right?
Right.
We tend to project onto them our own story about how we feel about us going and taking time for ourselves. So do you feel like rewatching this or making a list for yourself, you could take some form of self-care action every single day next week or even starting today?
Let's say starting tomorrow or next week.
Okay. Okay. Well, so what's the resistance? What came up just now?
The reality that I am driving for 4 hours this evening. Well, because I value sleep, if my day is that packed, I'm going to prioritize still going to sleep early that I like to do, as opposed to choosing something on this new list of things to do. Does that make sense?
Yes. But I also want to just reflect what you just said. I'm going to prioritize what I like to do. Bam. That's exactly what I'm asking you to do. So that's self-care by going to bed because you like to go to bed. Boom, done. Yeah. Self-care. I can absolutely do that. I'm going to bed tonight early. Got it. Of course I can start today.
Okay.
It's about also saying no to the things that I don't want to do and prioritizing what my no is too.
Yeah.
And so if my no is to stay up an extra hour to do blank, 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 and my yes is to going to sleep early, then that's self-care. Because self-care is listening to what we want to do or what we like and then prioritizing it. And so we can do that whether we're taking something on or taking something off of our list. It doesn't have to be so hard, and it doesn't actually have to be something we do even. It could be something as simple as I was having a conversation with one of the kids and I started to feel kind of like, eh. And so I literally stepped away for 2 minutes, went into a different room and took 2 minutes for myself. And that was my self-care. And then I came back. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can be anything.
Right. Right. No, that's a good point. And now I'm like, why did I, well, now I'm not going to say that to myself, but add to the list things I like, sleep. And I just know, I just feel better as a human when I get that much sleep. So,
yeah, that makes complete sense. So the other part of this too is to, once we start being more in touch of what we like and what we like to do, then the ease of self-care can be as simple or as complex as we want to make it. Your self-care could be as simple as when you're driving back from dropping the kids off to their various places, blasting music that you love, or blasting an audiobook so you're learning. So those check off the self-care. You're doing things that you're already going to be doing, but you're making it more enjoyable. And when you do that, then that is self-care.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so funny, because I was like, oh, maybe start next week, but I will 100% be listening to audiobooks because I will have driving time in the car by myself. So absolutely, we can start today.
Yeah. And it's so interesting too, because the more that you start to get in tune with the opportunities to bring in this self-care, which is, again, really just listening to what you like to do, and then making each moment as pleasurable as you can, and not letting that be something that you're constantly like, oh, not making it into a chore. So are you starting to see the link between self-care, which is also showing up for yourself in making your life more pleasurable? Are you seeing that first?
Yes. I think the point about how it can be just little moments here, but that contributes to, like, our days are made up of lots of little moments, right? So little moments that can help make that day or each day more pleasurable, that's making over a long term life more pleasurable, because you're having these little or big moments. Yeah, I'm seeing that link.
Okay. And then do you see that by knowing what you like and knowing what you like to do, and then asking yourself in those moments, how can I make this a little bit more pleasurable? How can I implement a little bit of self-care here? That the more that you do that, the more that actually builds knowing yourself more and trust in yourself that this is a priority.
Yeah, I see that. Even just from the simple point of the more discussion about what things I like, the more comes out, and the deeper, not necessarily deeper, but it's like layers come off, right? Like, oh, well, that made me think of this. And And then you trusting in yourself more that you know what things bring you joy. And yeah, I definitely see that.
The more that you can get to know yourself and know what you like and know what you like to do, and then are starting to implement it, not only do you start to trust yourself to have that awareness during the day, but then when you are asking yourself to do something that feels out of your comfort zone, right? And in the unknown, you're going to have started to build this relationship with yourself through the self-care and then alignment practices to say, going outside of the comfort zone doesn't feel so bad, doesn't feel so scary. It doesn't take as much courage anymore because I know that I show up every single day and I prioritize myself. Mm-hmm. And I've built that relationship with myself so much that I have the power. I know that the power is inside of me. Like I know it because I see it every day. So we're talking about deeper levels for sure.
Right, right. No, it definitely makes sense. And it's almost like, it sounds like almost in a way that becoming more attuned with things that bring us joy and building that relationship, you're in a way building your own confidence too.
Yes.
Which then makes stepping outside of your comfort zone not as scary because you've built yourself up and you're very in tune with yourself. And I can see how if you're not comfortable, how challenging that might feel to then, well, if I'm not comfortable here with me, how can I possibly do something that feels outside of me? Right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's just like any other relationship, right? So you trust your husband a lot. So if he was like, hey, I want you to try this brand new thing, and or I want you to try this thing that, like, I know that you have a fear of heights or fear of claustrophobia, but also I've done it. It's really great. I think you'd really like it. And don't you trust me enough to at least try it? Like, you're going to say yes because you trust him and you love him.
Yeah.
And that's the relationship that we're building through self-care practices and through alignment practices. So much so that when you have an idea of what you want to do, whether that's in your family life, your business life, whatever it is, that like you have that relationship that's so strong within yourself that it's so much easier than it is right now to believe in yourself and trust yourself to go for it, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and being part of this community. I want to hear from you. Did something resonate with you in this episode? Are you experiencing awakenings or synchronicities in your life? Do you have any questions or ideas for the podcast in general? Email me at podcast@abundancewithathena.com or DM me on Instagram at @abundancewithathena and share with me your stories. And with your permission, I'll share them with our community. And until next time, keep awakening to the abundance that's always within you.